When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to Breakfast with Pat and Heald. It's brought to you by Burbank Homes, the builders you can trust. You can bank on Burbank. And Hyundai, the all-new Hyundai Kona N-Line. It's an absolute beauty. We'd love you to join us. 13 13 55 is the Suncorp Home Resilience Open Line. Or you can text 0467 736 736. Opposite me is Nostradamus.
Boom.
Yes. Well, can we go straight to this, Heels? Oh. Your prediction from yesterday?
And he's keeping really, really well. And today I expect him to bat well. I reckon he's gonna recognise rock bottom and get into it.
Did he ever? Alex Carey, you were talking about, finished 98 not out, and Australia won the test. A few outlets describing it as a miracle. Not so sure if it was a miracle, but it was a bloody good win.
Great win to back up their first one. You know, as we talked to Pat Cummins last week, how good the first win was, and it was probably going to get overshadowed because they should have beaten New Zealand, that type of sentiment. And so that's a great series that they've had to pull everything out of the bag. And Alex Carey, to me, he was very upbeat, wasn't he? Did you see much of it, Paddy?
Yeah, I watched most of it, actually.
You know how he was very deliberate in his walking to his partner and he's walking back to the crease, mark centre bat, you know? Well, I've wanted him to do that even with the gloves, make it a little more obvious what you're trying to do. He's very good at hiding his body language and his feelings. Mm. But it was obvious yesterday. That's great. Geez, he played some good shots.
So,
and they didn't have any answers to him.
No, he kept going. I mean, obviously they dropped that early catch on 28, Mitch Marsh, which will prove very, very costly.
Oh, what about when we left here yesterday?
Yeah.
We had our head in hands, didn't we? Travis, what have you done? The ball after Mitch Marsh gets dropped, he gets caught, same area.
Yep. Yeah, just carving one out, and he was gone virtually straight away. And then that set Marsh and Carey on the path of a 6-wicket, 140-run stand, which was just brilliant, and that turned the test. When they got Marsh, Stark went first ball. Suddenly it was 7 for 220, still 59 shy. Then Carey and the skipper got together to get Australia home. Although Carey got stranded on 98, there's been plenty on social media saying, come on, Paddy, couldn't you have just manipulated things for him to get his century? But he really didn't care. The wicketkeeper, he was just rapt that they won.
You need two to win. You're two away from 100 and you've got Pat trying to smash you through the covers.
I was happy with that.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I didn't want to get on strike again.
Well, I asked Alex about it. He said it was quite heavy for you to smash the winning ones through the cover. You know, you left them 98 not out, but I think you were pretty keen to get it over and done with, weren't you?
Yeah, any way possible. I had no idea he was on 98, so that would have been embarrassing if he was celebrating and I wasn't looking.
Did you see the shot before he hit the winning runs too? He was trying to smash one against the seam back into him. And I'm thinking, hey, don't do that. Just block out the over. Because if you get up the other end, you're going to have to block out a hole over if you want him to get 100. Mm. And if the scores are tied, he quite possibly would only get one.
Mm.
It's not going to work. So, not very romantic, is he, Paddy? But
no.
Apparently the scoreboard was no good. They didn't use the scoreboard much at all.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Kiwis remain winless at home against Australia in 31 years, so that's going to continue. It was Australia's highest successful run chase v New Zealand in tests. So they were a couple of the stats. And then one of the surprises was Darryl Mitchell's quotes after the test.
Oh, look, for us, we've always said as Black Caps, we're not defined by the outcomes, we're defined by how we play cricket and hopefully how we inspire our country to play the game. And yeah, really proud of the efforts that we did throughout the test, although we didn't get the win that we wanted. I think if we keep turning up and keep playing cricket like this, with puffing our chests out and doing it with a smile on our face and hopefully inspiring many young kids here in New Zealand to play test cricket in the future, then we're doing the right thing.
You lost 2-0. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, if we just keep turning up and dropping catches, bowling the wrong lines,
their catching
and lengths,
was abysmal,
we'll be right.
In both tests.
We'll inspire kids that want to be better than us.
So that's copped a little bit of flack, as you would understand. There's a bit of England to that, is it?
Yes, England. Oh, what a, they had a good loss, didn't they? In commenting on their loss by an innings and 64 runs, Wide World of Sports posted a nail-biting innings loss for England, sees them courageously lose the series to India 4-1.
Well, there was a bit of Darryl Mitchell about that.
Definitely.
Yeah, so look, we'll review and go through a little bit more of that later on. But yeah, it was a great win by the Australians, and it was inspired by Alex Carey with a not out 98. It was just sensational. Now,
and when we do talk a little more on it, you look at Marsh, the scoring rates yesterday, 80 off 102, Carey 98 off 123, and Pat Cummins 32 off 44. That tells me a story, which backs up what I saw yesterday. So we'll talk about that a little later on, mate. But before we go any further, mate, you were at a very important event yesterday.
I was.
In Brisbane's sporting landscape, the funeral and reflection service of Darryl Vandeville.
Yeah, look, I didn't make it to the funeral, which I heard was very poignant, as you would expect it was, but I made it to the celebration of just a wonderful rugby league / sporting life for Darryl Vandeville. We had it at Suncorp yesterday afternoon. A who's who, as we said earlier, you know, Heels, when we acknowledged Darryl's surprise, shock passing, one of those deeply affected would be one of his greatest mates in Alan Langer. And, of course, they had to phone Alf in Los Angeles before the Vegas game, and he was deeply affected by that. I remember we caught up on Cox Plate Day. I remember me crowing last year about Ladbrokes taking us down for Cox Plate. Of course, Darryl and Alf were regulars on a Cox Plate. We caught up with them afterwards in Melbourne, having had a couple of drinks, and Alf was up to his usual mischief, you know, teasing Darryl and poking him in the ribs and things like that. But he was a wonderful mentor to Alf. And he was a wonderful friend to so many in football, player, coach. As we said, when he passed, he was instrumental in Alf going back for that famous 2001 State of Origin match when Bennett, you know, made the inspired call to pluck Alf from English Super League, and he had to go through Darryl first. Darryl and the Warrington, you know, hierarchy had to basically tick off on that.
Yes.
And they did, you know, as we know, the rest has been inscribed in Origin history and folklore. But yeah, Alf was very upset. A lot of our Host Plus coaches and players involved, because he was heavily involved with the Queensland Rugby League for so long and the board, etc. So, yeah, a big representation of the entire cross-section of rugby league there to pay tribute to a great man, to a great man.
Imagine his wife dropping him off for just a normal knee operation, his second one. He's had one of these before, and that's it.
Yeah.
What now, the cause, was it a clot or was it an infection again? I can't remember.
Picked up a clot. Yeah.
Clot.
Yeah. Yes. Very, very sad.
That's why our Medicaids tell us no surgery is easy surgery. Mm. You have to be very careful.
Well, we heard yesterday from Corey Parker about Tom Gilbert that there's a clot picked up, and they probably won't operate on the knee now, on the ACL, for 3 months.
Three extra months.
Yeah, well, and also the other big news last night, obviously the NRL judiciary has spoken, and it's spoken loudly. Spencer Lynu rubbed out for 8 matches, won't return until round 10. So he will miss the Roosters' return clash with the Bronx. That's round 9 at Suncorp on Friday, May 3. I don't know whether that ever came into their thinking. Probably not. Lynu's defence, and it has been all along, was that he didn't realise that the term monkey was racist. He got a text apparently at 6:30. The next morning when he woke up in Vegas from an Aboriginal woman who spoke poignantly of the hurt that word causes. So he soon learned, you know, what it meant. Apparently, it looks like now it was all sparked by Mam saying to a couple of his Broncos teammates, target him a little bit in attack because he looks like he's slowing down and running out of puff. And Lenu took exception to that, and that's when he's used the term monkey. And that's what's caused all the distress. But everyone has wanted, I think, a line in the sand, and I think that's drawn the line in the sand.
Eight
matches is a strong penalty.
Well, that's how ridiculous the NRL can be. A line in the sand. Mm. They've been educating these players since 1997.
Yep.
And never upholding the standards their education's putting out there.
Yeah.
And the hearing last night wasn't very consistent to me.
No.
He was racist. He wasn't racist. It was racist in nature, but he wasn't a racist person. But we're going to give him 8 weeks anyway.
Right.
It all went round and round and round. And some things that, you know, a medium category contrary conduct, which is 8 weeks. He was educated, but still caused pain and hurt. So we're going to give him medium contrary conduct, 8 weeks.
Mm. Joe Kelly was the spokesman, the Roosters CEO for the club afterwards, and he reiterated outside the hearing that Spencer is not racist.
Turning to the findings of tonight's hearing, we accept the suspension of 8 weeks. But in relation to the hearing, the club stands behind Spencer and is firmly of the belief he is not racist. And the club remains strong in its position that Spencer did not use the word, the subject of tonight's hearing, in a racially derogatory way.
Mm.
So should it be 8 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's still, whether he knows or not, he should know.
Yeah, but he didn't use it in that term. Mm. So they proved that.
Yeah, well, they've been through all this education.
Yeah.
And, I think he should know.
And then they tried a precedent where a recipient wasn't offended. By a racial word, and that counted for nothing.
Yeah, well, Joe Kelly answered some questions post as well. I mean, that was obviously from a red statement, but the Roosters CEO did take some questions.
So the judiciary obviously disagrees with what you've said there, Joe, but you're quite strong on that.
Yeah, we are really strong on that. We spent the week with Spencer, and from the word go, he was forthright and honest and put his hand up immediately.
How's Spencer now?
As you would expect, it's a tough one for him, but, you know, he'll work his way through it, and he'll use this time on the sidelines as well to further his education, which will start immediately.
You know, after he heard from the relative of Ezra. And it's interesting to read Steve Renouf in the paper today about how involved the Mann family has been with Deadly Choices. He still took 2 days to apologise.
Yeah.
After he knew how hurtful it was.
Well, they probably went into crisis meetings.
Well, for the first time.
Yeah.
They should have been immediately after Vegas whistle.
Well, Steve Renouf was actually at the Darryl Vandeveld celebration of his life. And they'd been to a Deadly Choices function.
Yeah.
This was Steve speaking of the incident.
The good thing is how strong he stood up, and he stood up for his people, and that's amazing. And, you know, I said this about his playing, his game, rugby league, how much he's matured in a short period of time, which he did. We saw his performance in the grand final, but he's done that as a young man, and there's a reason for that, because he grew up in a strong family, and he stands up for what he believes in.
What about the original defence lawyer? Or whatever, calling him Luai.
Mm.
Was it a genuine mistake, do you think? Or was it something he was trying to annoy him with? Like, this is how you get annoyed by words.
Mm. I don't know. I would hope that
and the
just
wrong
a
nation,
genuine mistake.
Wrong nation and wrong name.
Hopefully it was a genuine mistake.
Well, if it's a genuine mistake, that bloke could never be in that room again.
Mm. Oscar has been on the text line early. Latrell Mitchell only received a 6-week ban for his sickening hit on Joey Manu that left him with a broken cheekbone. Racial abuse is not okay at all, but I think physical violence should always carry a heavier penalty than words of abuse. Yeah, no, not right.
I think that's right.
No, I don't.
Hey, that hit on Joey Manu.
Yeah, he got 6 weeks for it.
Yeah, he should have got 8 at least.
Well, give him longer. But this one of Lenu is well and truly deserving of 8.
Right. Yeah, that's what I think whoever wrote that in
that was
saying. He should have got more than 6.
Mm.
So I reckon an illegal physical act is as bad as what Spencer Lenu did.
Well, I'll agree to disagree on that.
Yeah.
It's 6:17. Vanessa's here.
Good morning. Well, in breaking news just in the last few minutes, police have actually laid a murder charge over the death of a 21-year-old man at Hope Island on the Gold Coast yesterday. It happened at a shopping centre car park when a man was actually dragged from his car and attacked in daylight. Now, two 23-year-old men were taken into custody yesterday. They were found hiding out nearby. One 23-year-old man from Redbank Plains has been charged this morning, so he will face court today. Investigations continue. Now, on to the lighter stuff. We have to talk about yesterday's Oscars.
Oh, yes.
Now, what a ceremony we saw. Oppenheimer, obviously a very big winner as expected. 7 prizes it took home, including Best Picture and Best Director. Poor Things also did well. It won 4 categories, including Emma Stone winning her 2nd Oscar for Best Actress. You know, Barbie didn't do as well. Just the 1 prize for Billie Eilish's song, What Was I Made For? But there was plenty of fun and games, and of course, all the action from the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Now we saw some beautiful, you know, there was really some really elegant pieces. Carey Mulligan in a very like mid-century glamour style piece. Plenty of shimmers and sparkles mm-hmm. around as well. We saw some leather, this green leather dress that was quite amazing with all these ruffles. Ryan Gosling taking things a bit casual with his shirt undone.
Yes.
You know, if you've got the chest and for it, why not?
Getting away from Ken real quick, wasn't
he? Yeah, no Pete.
And Hemsy rocked it. Didn't make a lot of effort. Just put the boss on. And
any favourites from you two?
Well, there were a couple of chests, but John Center went the whole kit and caboodle, didn't he?
Yes.
That was a gutsy costume.
Yeah, that was a little bit full on.
It was a small piece of paper, wasn't it? It was like a A5 manila folder.
Okay.
What about the sleeping bag of Ariana Grande?
Yes. A big pink
puffy sleeping bag. How comfortable was she going to be nestling in a seat?
Absolutely. I don't know quite how you sit down in a dress like that.
The exaggerator off the shoulder puff. Mm. And the other, apparently they were talking about a lot. They're very uncomfortable shells, corsets that came up over the shoulders, and they had to sit not straight in their seats.
Did you see how a couple of the dresses, they have these sleeves over the shoulders that stick up?
Yeah, they must be fiberglass.
Looks like it needs to be taken in a bit, like they're a bit short-waisted, but apparently that's the fashion.
And they're rock hard. They're like shells.
It's strange.
3 to 4 hours sitting down in that.
Yeah.
Well, apparently the dress that Barbie wore had no pink in it at all.
Which one?
No, Margot Robbie's.
Margot Robbie.
Beautiful black.
The black one.
And they're all saying that was a protest.
Because she's worn pink to every awards ceremony.
She's got to move on.
She didn't get nominated for the Oscars.
They can read anything.
They really can.
The monologue, did you see it?
Yeah, bits and pieces.
It was pretty good.
Not bad.
It was quite good. And Margot, was talked about in that. They won the genetic lottery.
And
then everyone clapped when they supported the non-nomination of Barbie.
Yeah.
And he said, it was all you who did it.
Yeah.
Well, don't clap. It's your fault.
It was you.
Yeah.
The performance, though, of I'm Just Ken was excellent.
Outstanding.
Yeah, that was
Slash
a real
playing
highlight.
Guitar.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very good. All right. Well, look, I'm pleased that I haven't been asked for my dress review.
No, you're pretty good. You're in there. Why? What do you think?
Spangles and sparkles and tight things.
And big puffy exaggerated sleeves.
Yeah. Things that look very uncomfortable to be sitting there for a 3-hour award show to tell you.
Yeah, there was no cutouts. You know,
only 1 or 2, but they're kind of moving on from the cutouts, aren't they?
Straight across the bust.
Yes.
No sort of sternum showing.
But also the Oscars is a little bit more conservative. They're not quite as outrageous on that red carpet.
How long is a red carpet? You see the drone shot? It goes for a block and a half.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
And Margot then apparently sort of channeled Tay-Tay for the after party.
Yeah.
Oh, she was in a gold dress, wasn't she, for the after
party? Front page of the paper, yeah.
Yes, like a leotard kind of bodysuit. Yes.
Why do you discuss that? We've got to get to a break because
that
it's gone to 6:22.
It's Tay-Tay's bodysuit. And she's got a leather shawl over her arms.
Yeah. We'll be back. Let's talk some footy. Are you surprised with an 8-match ban for Spencer Linu?
Not really. This is what I expected, given that he entered that guilty plea beforehand. You know, he did show some contrition and remorse, but for me, the NRL, it was a line in the sand moment. They had to come down with the big suspension once they got all the facts on board to show that it's a big deterrent in the future, that this isn't going to happen again. And if you are a player who does this, you're going to cop a lengthy suspension. So to me, the interesting part is it's 8 weeks. If it was to be 7 weeks, he would come back to play the Broncos at Suncorp Stadium in round 9. Could you imagine the build up to that and how explosive that would be? So I don't know if that factored in any way, but you know, they've avoided that bombshell, if you will. But yeah, that's what I did expect, the 8-week suspension. I think upon the facts, it's justified as well.
Yeah, right. What about a Vegas wrap, Jacko? How'd you think it went? There weren't too many Americans, but I don't think we expected that. It seemed to be wonderful rugby league tourism in general.
Oh, definitely. I think inadvertently it was a great selling point for the game in Australia. I know we were supposed to sell it to the United States, but for like that 2 or 3 week period, just working in the sports media, that's all everyone was talking about on the streets of Brisbane. Even my family up in Townsville, people down in Sydney. So the publicity it generated, there were obviously going to be a few teething problems the first year. And I like the fact that they're going back for the next 4 years as part of that 5-year deal. So, and to watch it, I don't know about you guys watching it from home inside the stadium, it looked pretty good. And the players deserve some credit because both games that they tossed up were quite exciting for an American market, more defensive orientated for that Broncos Roosters game. But that Rabbitohs Manly game had a lot of tries. There was a bit of bloodshed. There was a few big hits. Reece Walsh with a shoulder charge. So I think it delivered everything that they expected it would have beforehand. Yeah,
I agree. I mean, they got to be happy with that. And, you know, obviously they'll find a way to try and get it on free-to-air over there, even though Fox One, has supposedly 100 million potential viewers. And the amount of viewers was low, but yeah, steady, and they're committed for 5 years. So yeah, good on them.
Hey, Adam, any inkling of what they spent on it?
No, I'm probably the wrong person to talk about that. But yeah, the focus now for me turns to who's going next year.
Yes.
So you've heard the whispers of like Penrith's pretty much locked in from what we can hear. I was talking to the Dolphins, whose name's been mentioned. They kind of want a Queensland team to go once every 4 years to capture that tourism market. The hard part for the Dolphins is two of these teams have to sell a home game to go over there. So the NRL has to buy the home games, and the Dolphins' home games, they make a lot of money at Suncorp Stadium. They're getting a big crowd. So that's the difficult decision for them. And also the Warriors have been tossed up to catch the New Zealand market, and then maybe a Storm or Raiders. So like they're the five teams that I've heard so far, but over the next months, we've been told that the NRL make a decision so the teams can have more time to plan logistically where they're going to be based. And I think probably upon reflection, the Broncos would have gone to Vegas a bit earlier than what they did instead of being based in LA for so long.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the weekend, mate. Cowboys good.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I can talk about the Cowboys forever. I was calling the Queensland Cup game at Langlands Park, and then I saw the score, so I had to race to Suncorp Stadium and make sure I watched it. It's good to see them, finally play to their potential. Last year, we're so disappointed because you know they have the talent in the team, and they just didn't live up to the expectation based on the previous year getting towards the preliminary final up in Townsville. But my old mate Kyle Felt getting one try short of matching Matty Bowen's record. That's a sensation. He'll get the chance to do it against the Knights this weekend. Jeremiah Nanai, he was great. Reuben Cotter's always solid. And Tom Dearden, I really love the growth that Tom Dearden's shown. But on the opposite side of the coin, how disappointing were the Dolphins after all that preseason hype?
Yes.
Yeah, they were disappointing, and I think Benny's going to have to ring some changes this weekend. He's got a few options, obviously, in the halves and up front, but the big talk, I suppose, has been about the age of the forward pack. I mean, you take Gilbert away for the season, and you're talking four guys or so, over 30 years of age.
Oh, definitely. That was always going to be the problem there, Paddy. And Tommy Gilbert's just the heart and soul of that team. And it's even been disappointing to see at training, how sad the playing group is that Tommy Gilbert's not there with that long-term injury. And they've also got problems this week. So Connolly Lemuelu dislocated his kneecap. That'll be a long-term injury. Ray Stone suffered an HIA. That's another the forward who's going to be out this week. Jared Wallace was 18th man, so you think Jay Wall will come in, and they'll need another forward to go in. Also, Tessie New in the centres struggled against Zach Laybutt. He had a field day against him. You've got Jake Averillo there. The Bulldogs recruit didn't play round one. He played Queensland Cup for North Devils, scored a try in their upset win over Burley Bears. So maybe Averillo comes back into the side this week. Depends how loyal Bennett wants to be. I talked to Jesse Bromwich, the Dolphins captain, after the game, and he said Wayne was quite firm. He said he wasn't angry, but he was very firm the way he talked to the playing group. So obviously trying to send a message early on there.
Possible overtraining, do you think? Adam, you've watched them do the physical stuff?
Not really. I just think the Cowboys are really good on a day service. They got the jump on them, and you go back to a lot of those Cowboys tries that were scored on fifth tackle. And again, in that conversation I had with Jesse Bromwich, he said the part he highlighted was so disappointing was their own fifth tackle options not being able to capitalise because they had a lot of good ball and then switching off to the back end of sets. So a couple of those Cowboys tries were back-to-back tries, so which turns a six-point deficit into a 12-point deficit, which turns it into an 18-point snowball. So even though the scoreline blew out so much towards the end, if there's a few areas they knuckle down in, they save a few tries. One of them was with that hammer with that stupid kick where he tried to deflect it off Lukey and scored a try. So, yeah, there's a few 1%ers, 2%ers, which they hone in on. So they've got the Dragons this weekend, Sunday afternoon, up at Redcliffe. So to me, that's a big test. If they lose that one, there's a few alarm bells ringing.
Mm. Hey, Bronx, I know Nine reporting last night that that Marty Tapayu may be a victim of the Las Vegas loss.
Yeah, to be honest, I was surprised that he started in that Vegas game. Like, Corey Jensen's done everything wrong. He's probably the fittest player in the club, strongest player in the club. I think he deserved to start in round one. So I think that'll happen on Thursday night against the Rabbitohs. No real other changes for the Broncos. Adam Reynolds injured his knee a bit in that Vegas game, but he's told us he's good to go. And they've had that sort of, I think it's 11-day turnaround between games. But that's another interesting game too on Thursday night.
Yes.
Rabbitohs and Broncos. None of those teams want to be 0-2 at the start of the season, given that they've been kind of finals fancy. So, yeah. That's quite an exciting game. And the Rabbitohs still without Jack White. Their star recruit doesn't come back till round three. And the stats tell me too, the Rabbitohs have won their past four games at Suncorp Stadium. So they're not intimidated coming up here. Mm. So that's a huge test for the Broncos. Mm.
Did you think the Broncos' work rate was okay in Vegas?
I think it took them too long to get into the game, that first sort of 25 minutes, which was justifiable because Brendan Piakura went down with that HIA and they had to reshuffle the forward pack. Yes. And then Paddy Carrigan moves to the edge. He's not as effective. He can't pump out the middle minutes he usually does. So the Broncos' loss was excusable based on the fact of that Piakura HIA and the way it affected the interchange. So, but interesting to see, how they really bounce back because, I honestly think for the Broncos this year, the four players they've lost, Catewell, Flegler, Herbie Farnworth, and Keenan Palacios, it will take a toll. A lot of Broncos fans just think they're going to roll up and get into the grand final again
this year.
Right. I think it's going to be a lot more difficult than Broncos fans expect.
Hey, will Piakura be right? What's the word?
Yeah, we've been told because it's now that minimum 11-day standout period. Speaking to Kevin Walters, He's reacted better than expected. He was a bit ginger the day after the game, but they're doing the continual testing protocol. So, yeah, expect him to be in the side on Thursday night. Expect him to be named this afternoon when the teams get released.
Hey, Jacko, just back to the Lenny thing. How's Ezra doing? I mean, have you checked on his welfare with the club?
Well, yeah, they said he obviously took it harsh, and they did that. One positive for the club yesterday, they had their Deadly Choices partnership announced and recommitted with Steve Renoff at Suncorp Stadium. And that's something that Ezra is heavily involved in. And I think it gets misconstrued a bit in this case of, like, I've seen reports on social media. So he had a 12-paragraph impact statement, and 8 paragraphs got redacted because of obviously the personal nature of that. You know, people shouldn't think Ezra Mann didn't do anything wrong. All he did is stand up for his culture. So I don't like any criticism around that. He should be applauded the way he's behaved. You know, he's kept very quiet. I like the fact that he called it out on the field. So Ezra Mann's action there will change the game in the future for so many people. And, you know, he was obviously taking it hard. The only time I've seen him is at the airport when they return. He was a bit down, but the club's done a really good job of getting around him, having the support mechanisms in place there with the well-being officers. So, you know, I think he'll come out firing at Suncorp Stadium on Thursday night. Given that it's the best part is that this is all over now. It's over on the Monday night. The judiciary's done, and we can stop talking about it after today.
Yeah. Right. Well said, Jagger.
Yeah. Hey, just quickly, your Cows host the Knights on Saturday at Queensland Country. You know, Heels and I are claiming responsibility for Zach Labert's incredible performance the other day, because we had him on the show and we got him pumped up. But, boy, wasn't he good. He's a mover, isn't he?
Well, I covered the Cowboys-Broncos trial in Mackay a few weeks ago, and I said to the Cowboys coaching staff, you know, who's impressed you in the preseason? They said Zach Labert had a really good preseason, and he'll be beneficial for Kyle Felt too, because we didn't really see it on Sunday because he was carving up the Dolphins so much. He has a really good offload, so I expect him to have a lot of try assists. I've seen him play in the Queensland Cup for the Townsville Blackhawks. And the Cowboys also had a player, Vilami Valia, who they recruited from the Warriors. So it was essentially a two-way race between him and Zach Labor. And because Zach Labor performed so well, fitness, training in the off-season, he got that opportunity. It's so great to see a young kid take that opportunity with both hands as well.
Brilliant, Jacko. Always generous with your time, mate, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks, Adam.
No worries. Catch you, guys.
Now on Breakfast with Pat and Heels. Heels gets his gloves off.
Well, when I read yesterday that the Formula One Academy opened the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix with an all-female race, I thought, well, that's unusual for Saudi Arabia with their record with women. So I thought, all right, it's time I learn a little bit more about Saudi Arabia and what's happening in sport. It's a Middle Eastern kingdom. King Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud is the king, and he's very popular, has been since 2017. So it's the 14th largest country in the world, 2 million square kilometres. Australia are the 7th at 7 million square kilometres. It has ocean frontages on two sides of its country, but it's mainly desert, a bit like Australia as well. 7 million population capital, Riyadh. 17% of the world's proven petroleum resources, first discovered in 1938. Natural gas, iron ore, gold, copper as well. Holy cities, Mecca and Medina. So it is an interesting place that way. There are religious police and strict separation of men and women. It has been curbed in 2016 that women have had no rights, and traditional discrimination probably been happening for hundreds of years. That's what the king is up against. So is this sports washing or diversifying its economy? That's what it's saying. They're getting ready for no oil and diversifying its economy so that they're able to survive. Second year of the Saudi Pro League in football. They spent $480 million first year. Didn't work. So maybe more will go into that this year. $1 billion to the PGA when a deal gets finalised in golf. Tourism ambassadors, extremely well paid. Messi, Ronaldo are two of them. Newcastle United they bought in 2021, or a share of it in 2021. And then cricket, horse racing, boxing, Formula One, tennis, wrestling. $1 billion offer to Mbappe as a player and an ambassador for the area. So the sports minister says, we're trying to soften our image. Amnesty International says promoting big personalities and events are just a distraction to the country's appalling human rights record. These are the discrepancies that they're up against, and things have to be worked out. Now, the public investment fund that owns Liv, was established in 1971, a long time ago. In 77, they invested in Williams Formula One, and then it became Saudi Al Williams. They win in 1980. In 1977, Brazilian soccer star started to play for Al Hilal. In 1989, they won the World Cup under 16 soccer. In the 90s, there's Asian soccer investments, Man United investments, Sheffield United investments. They've been involved in sport for a long, long time. But watch how it accelerates in the years 22, 23 and now. 2017, World WWE events. 2019, LIV Golf started. Tennis, women's golf in 20. 21, Formula One first race over there. They've now got two tracks. They're building. It's going to stay where it is till 27 before it transfers to Qiddiya. Two races is what they're after, not just using one of the two tracks. They want to use them both. So Aramco in 21 started a women's golf, which is very interesting. New York, London, Singapore and Jeddah in, very big purses for the women's game in that series. McLaren, they invested in 2021. First race in unease at, in Formula One, in their first race in 2021, there was a bombing 6 miles from the circuit. The race continued, even though the drivers were a little uneasy. Then it starts to accelerate. 22, they formed the Saudi women's soccer team. The Aston Martin and Aramco get together, a bid to host 2026 Asian Women's Cup that they finally won for the 2027 hosting rights. And that was in 23. In 23, they tried to sponsor the World Cup we had in Australia, but it was declined by the women's game. Women's Tennis Association, 20% they bought for $150 million. So it's right involved in tennis. Italian Serie A, Italian Super Cup played in Saudi Arabia as well. The PIF announced ownership of 4 pro soccer clubs. So they now own Al Hilal, Al Nasser, which Ronaldo plays for, Al Attiyad and Al Ahly. In 23, they've had mega boxing fights. In 24, this golf merger might happen or it might not. The merger between the PGA, the DP Tour and LIV. So they are right into it. However, the human rights record, executions are on the rise. 196 in 2020. The death penalty is still in operation. Its largest day is 81 in a day. Laws and practice still discriminate against women. There's been imprisonment and harassment claims when things are uncovered. Women can now drive. They don't have to have a male guardian all the time due to the campaigning of certain individuals who then became harassed. So no free speech, no LGBTIQ rights, and travel bans are still in place. They're not treating their own people as well as they'd like, but it is improving. So sport is accepting a lot of great facilities and money. Can they contract Saudi Arabia to see improvements in citizen rights, I wonder? It's not any of their business, but improvements in lifestyles are just maybe a good place to start, because that's what they're saying, improving the lifestyles of their citizens and softening their image. So current improvements, just as basic as they are. So let's see how it goes. But Saudi Arabia, very interesting and engaged in sport.
Let's get to the most important things in league first. Now, what are they? Who are you coaching? The Currumbin Eagles, are they?
The Eagles, mate.
The
yeah.
Eagles.
Yeah,
okay.
I was going to say we had a big weekend of the footies back, and I was talking about the junior footy. My first assignment as coach, although albeit being it was just a trial match, boys.
And you've got a fair troop, eh? You're coaching a lot.
Yeah, no, we got a big group down there at the moment. We got about 40 kids, which is great for the footy club. So there's some bigger clubs on the Gold Coast, Burley Bears being one of them, Southport and Coomera, just to name a few, Runaway Bay. But we're just a little club down in the southern end, and yeah, we've had a great turnout. We've got a great bunch of kids, all lovely families, nice tight knit group of people. And they had their first hit out on the weekend,
winning.
The first game was pretty close, because it's a trial game, so we're not kicking goals and we're sort of not keeping score. I think the first one was pretty even. We took on Runaway Bay in the first hit out, and then the second game was in against Bulamble, which is another little club in the Northern Rivers of New South Wales. So, and we had a win down there. So, good little first hit out for the boys. They were just ecstatic to get back and play footy, boys.
Yeah, and no injuries.
Yes,
that's good.
No injuries. The coach didn't have to get up and raise his voice, which was nice as well. a stress-free day. It was good.
Now, my observation last week was that your former coach, Craig Bellamy, was very upbeat and enthusiastic. How good were the Melbourne Storm?
Mate, they were unbelievable. I went down to Melbourne and called that one, Heels. And a lot of people, if you just looked at the scoreline purely, you'd probably think, geez, that would have been an ordinary game, 8-0. But it was a high-quality game. Both teams were using the football a lot. They were throwing it around, particularly Penrith, who had a lot of opportunities down Melbourne's end. They had seven sets in the second half, I think it was, inside, like full sets inside the Melbourne Storm 20-metre zone, and the Storm somehow found a way to turn them away, which was extremely impressive. I was trying to rattle my brain after that match, trying to think back how long ago. I'm trying to remember I've seen or was a part of a defensive effort like that with the Melbourne Storm. It'd have to be a very, very long time. So that was an impressive win. It's they managed to maintain that first round win for Craig and the footy club. 22 years now, boys. 22 years. They've won a first round match, and particularly, you know, everyone was talking about this year taking on the reigning premiers. You know, this is the hardest test. Particularly, Cam Munster was ruled out in the end.
Yeah.
No Nelson Asova Solomona in the middle. So that was a huge. Huge effort, and one that I know Craig was certainly proud of. But he's a funny coach, isn't he? So he came into the press conference and he goes, "Oh, outstanding effort, super proud of him." You know, we didn't play that well though. We weren't smart. I just think, mate, come on, just give the boys a rap,
will you? They've tackled their backsides.
So
now, big news from overnight. Obviously, you knew we were going to get to this. Well, there's been. More news on this now from one of your great mates, Jonathan Thurston. And I don't know whether you've caught up with this, but...
No, I haven't.
He's been interviewed on the Today Show today. Mm-hmm. And let me give you some of his quotes. There is only one way that term is used, and that is racially. The NRL had a great opportunity to make a stand, not only for the game, but for society as well. I think the game has failed in this instance. I don't think 8 weeks is sufficient for what has been said and the mental scars that have been brought up and what our culture has endured since the history of colonisation. I thought it was a great opportunity to go 12 weeks and a blanket ban for all racial vilification if you're found guilty. That from, you know, another one that's, you know, going to be a future immortal, you would have to think.
Well, it's strong points, aren't they? And obviously it hits pretty hard with Jonathan Thurston. I've seen his reaction when he was actually in Vegas and seen his initial reaction straight after that match when the news broke that there was some issues coming from that game. And you know, it's completely, you know, his opinion on how strong that should have been. I think, you know, when you break it down, 8 weeks is a hefty penalty to pay though. Mm. 8 weeks. It's 2 months of football that you're now going to be missing. I'd like to think that there are some other things going on as well with Spencer Lenu where, you know, there's some education involved as well. It's not just 8 matches he sits out. But that is a pretty hefty penalty to cop from the judiciary. If you look historically, if you look across, you know, some issues that we've had where people have faced either, you know, suspensions or fines or whatnot for racial slurs or vilification. This is the most hefty we've seen. I think in the past there's been fines, there's been suspended fines, there's been maybe 1 or 2 weeks. This is the strongest penalty we've seen in the game so far. You know, because I think the NRL punched out maybe, or maybe not the NRL. I've seen something on a news feed during the week about some of the past indiscretions. And the punishment or the penalty was quite insignificant compared to this. So I think it's unfortunate that we're dealing with this because I really feel as though this is on the most part stamped out of the game, out of our game in general. I think it's just unfortunate that, you know, this thing has occurred, particularly over in Vegas, and we've had to deal with it. It's been in our news feeds now for a couple of weeks. But I'd like to think now that that's a bit of a sign from the NRL to say, look, we're not copping this stuff, boys. It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
At all levels, not just in our game, but, you know, down at the park, at schools, out on the street, wherever it is, you can't cop this stuff anymore. So I'd like to think that, you know, Spencer's learned his lesson. And it's a message to all other players out there. Don't go there, boys. Mm. Just do not go there. You know it's wrong. Don't go there.
Yeah, I wonder if the judiciary should take advice prior to the hearing, you know, so they've got a better understanding of the Indigenous hurt.
Mm.
You know what I mean? There's no obvious JT on that panel.
No.
But you know, could Bobby Lindner have rung JT and said, look, teach us more about the actual stuff so that those penalties could be more accurate? Or is that interfering with the trial?
Oh, I think that's probably, that's interfering with it, I think. I think you got to let the natural path, you know, serve out in that hearing. I think a good thing for maybe Spencer would be to sit down with someone like JT.
Yep.
Or Greg Inglis. You know, I know Ezra Mam has sort of refuted the opportunity to speak with Spencer, and that's fair enough as well. But, you know, when you're talking about Indigenous leaders in our game, you think of guys like Jonathan and Greg, and maybe there's an opportunity for those guys to sit down with him and explain to him about what that term meant and speaking in those types of language and towards, you know, Indigenous people, like how that affects them. I think that would be the best education for Spencer moving forward.
Yep. Agreed. And I, you're right. He's learned his lesson, and you can only hope. All right, well, look, a tipping nightmare.
Oh, last week. Shocking.
Absolute
shocking.
Tipster's nightmare. Shocking.
How many did you get, Ken? You probably got three because I copied yours.
Mate, I think I ended up with four because I went Melbourne. I've got a point over everyone else. Everyone else would have gone Panthers, especially when Munster was ruled out. But I think I went Cowboys, Parramatta, Storm, and no, that's it.
Yeah, well, I reckon I've got Cowboys and Parramatta.
Oh no,
that was
I've got three.
Yeah, but you add Vegas in. Did you
I got those two wrong as well.
Oh, me too.
I think maybe two favourites. Starting favourites won over the weekend.
I know. Well, listen, let's talk about the Queensland teams. Titans with the new regime under Desi Hasler, disappointing.
Extremely. Yeah, extremely disappointing. And, you know, that's with all due respect to St. George, you know, they played extremely well.
Yeah.
They look energised. They look happy. They look all confident in you know, themselves, and the self-belief in that squad looks as good as it has in a few years. But, you know, the Gold Coast Titans to only come up with four measly points and conceding 28, that's the concern for me with you know, when you're thinking of a Des Hasler coach footy side, they're the mentally tough sides. They defend hard, they defend for each other, but they conceded 28. And some of the tries I've seen, were relatively soft, and playing at home too, boys. Like, you get the opportunity to play at home in your opening round, you want to put in a better show than that.
Yep.
So I've seen Desi, you know, he looked quite calm after the game, but he was, you could see him pointing out some facts and looked like he was showing, you know, the team some stats and reading out some things about what went wrong, because there would have been obviously everyone goes in with a game plan and they would have spoken about the way they wanted to play and some targets they wanted to reach. And I think he just would have been simply pointing out, hey, boys, what was that?
Yep.
That was nothing like what we spoke about. That was nothing like what we wanted to do. We need to fix this quickly.
Mm. They're full of excuses, the Titans. They've been working on their defensive structures for 4 years. Come on. Surely they can move on now and say, right, are you right? Come with me. Come on, let's tackle. We've got to tackle that bloke. We've got to get back there, get ready for the next one, get right.
Well, they've got a bye, so that's the good news for them. That's the positive. They've got a bye this weekend, so I dare say they'll be out at their training facility at Parkwood right now doing a little bit of hard work, I reckon, fellas.
Well, they gave up 28 points to the Dragons. The Dolphins gave up 43 for the Cowboys.
No good. Called this one as well with the great Paul Vorton and Peter Basoldis at Suncorp. And look, they looked okay early, but they fell off the cliff quickly. Cowboys look really good though. They played a really really nice style of footy where they had a good mix of using their big men through the middle. Big Jordan McLean, Jason Taumalolo started in the front row, although he only played like 25 minutes or something like that. But they had times where they were going from side to side, two or three tackles in a row, and they moved the Dolphins' defense around, and it just made them fatigue really quickly. And you know, the Dolphins didn't help themselves. They were making some early tackle errors, inviting the Cowboys down their end, and then they gave up soft tries. So it's a bit of a concern for them. I don't know whether we'll see that same 13 roll out. Well, I think there'll be changes to the 17, but I'm saying there might be some changes to that starting team that ran out as well. I think the young Isaiah Katoa, the half, might come back in this week.
Yep.
That's my little tip.
Okay.
One thing that has been talked about, though, mate, is their ageing forward pack. You know, we've lost Tom Gilbert now.
Yep.
And, you know, they've got four blokes over the age of 30 in that pack. Is that going to be a problem as the season unfolds?
Well, you'd think naturally it may, because it's a long year. They've got another 26 weeks to go. And I know there's a few buys in there, but as you get older, it does get a little bit harder. And the Cowboys just had too much energy for them on the weekend. And experience is great. I'm a huge fan of having some older players in your squad, you know, just to nurture the young blokes coming through. But they need to find a way. What needs to happen is they need to have a fair share of the football.
Yeah.
And the other day, they really didn't. So they defended strongly. I thought they actually played with a lot of effort, but because they were turning the ball over and putting so much effort into making tackles, every time they got the turnover, they only had enough energy was to send one guy out and just hit the ball up for five tackles.
Yeah.
Like they had no opportunity to play football against the Cowboys. So it was really hard to get any opportunities. The concerning thing for me with that performance was up until the last 10 minutes, there was two try scorers for the Dolphins. And they were the two front rowers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whereas you look on the other side with the Cowboys, I know a couple of their forwards scored some points, but it was all the outside backs. The forwards did all the grunt work up the middle, and then the ball went wide and the edge boys finished it off. Whereas with the Dolphins, it was two front rowers scoring tries. Yeah. And then Jack Bostock, I think, scored one right at the end. So they need to sort their attack out. There's no doubt about that.
Murray, one of our regular texters, boys, crystal ball due to his lack of impact, hence decreased game time, Marty Tapiu to seek release, and Des Hasler to throw him a lifeline. I think that's a little bit premature, Muzz. I mean, but they are talking about he might have trouble retaining his spot. Broncos v Rabbitohs, that kicks everything off for round two on Thursday night at Suncorp.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think it caught everyone by surprise, Marty Tupple starting for the Broncos over in Vegas. Because the one thing that the Broncos do have, they have got some big young forwards coming through. So it'd be interesting to see what way Kevy goes this week against the Rabbits. He'll be looking for his team to bounce back. By their standards, it was a pretty ordinary showing in that first up game. Against the Chooks. So I think they'll bounce back. I reckon Broncos by a little bit in this one, boys.
Do you? Mm-hmm. I was going to say they're big favourites. So, and you're backing that up Thursday night.
I reckon a little bit.
I got into a half an argument with our great mate Jimmy Maher, who's one of the greatest Bulldogs fans that God has ever put breath into. But he said, "You seem to be doubting us." Well, I tell you what, I'm pleased I did hold off. They're a little ordinary. That's the Friday night game against the Sharkies at Pointsbet Stadium.
Yeah, really impressive, the Sharks, the win against the Warriors. I know they had a couple of players go down, the Warriors, but they had very little football in the first half, the Sharkies. So one of the hardest road trips in the entire competition is travelling over to New Zealand to take on the Warriors, and the way they come away with a very strong victory, I was really impressed. I think going back home, taking on the Dogs, who, as you said, you know, they really didn't offer too much in that game against Parramatta last weekend, I think the Sharkies will win.
Yeah. The next game is Panthers. Panthers against the Eels. Good test for the Eels. They look good on paper.
Yes, no, they do. And again, showing some nice signs in round one, but they did take on the Doggies, who, you know, we just spoke about, didn't offer up too much. Really impressed with the way Bryce Cartwright played, actually, boys. He's very, very strong, very good. It seems as though he's found that little sort of that part in his game where he's a lot more consistent now. Now, I think we've always seen that really great ball-playing ability with his flick passes and his nice offloads and all that sort of stuff, but he seemed to be able to find that consistency now where he just, you know, it's time and place for him. Okay. So he knows the right time to offload, he knows the right time to take a tackle, and he defended strongly too. So I'm really impressed with him. Penrith, they need to sort out their attack, boys.
Yep.
Defensively, quite strong again the other night, you know, keeping the Melbourne Storm to 8, but they had 0 points.
Yeah.
0 points. So maybe this is what they need. It's their first game back at home. As I said last week, you know, I was keen to see how they went coming from that North England trip.
Yeah.
They did look a little bit fatigued at times, but maybe back at home in front of their home crowds, I think Penrith in a very tight one, boys.
Raiders were good, and they get up. They get the side that had the first round bye, the Tigers, and that's at home in Canberra. Starts off Super Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, they were fired up, weren't they, against Newcastle, and they had a really strong victory first up there. So travelling back home, I'm going the home team again. West Tigers. We've only really seen them in that preseason hit out, and they looked okay. But yeah, I just think the Raiders too strong in this one.
The Knights travelling to Queensland Country Bank Stadium in Townsville.
Yep. Didn't really have a lot of good things that I've seen from Newcastle. I thought they were actually quite disappointing. They were one of the more disappointing performers of the weekend.
Yep.
Again, travelling up north, warmer conditions. I think the Cowboys could put a bit of a score on them, boys. If they play like they did last week against the Dolphins, I think the Cowboys might get rack up a big score.
Well, this probably shapes as one of the highlight matches of the round, your Storm against rebounding Warriors, because I reckon they would have copped an earful this week too.
I reckon they would have. And, you know, not a bad performance by the Warriors, but they did give up a lead.
Yeah.
Well, they were up 12-0, I think. Yes. So it's that to me, that's a bit of a worry, particularly when they were at home, and looked like they were doing it quite comfortably. Adam Fanua Blake, boys, impressive game again. Big man up the middle, scored a try. I think he made a nice little line break on his own too. He's got great feet for a big man. So he's going to be one that the Storm need to be really careful of. But I reckon they back up that performance again, boys, the Melbourne Storm. They were really impressive. I think they'll tidy up their attack and make that a little bit more sort of fluent, and hopefully they can score a few more points. But I think these early matches, you look at the strong defensive sides, and I'm sort of backing them to win these matches. So yeah, I'm going Melbourne.
Okay. A bit of patience. The Sunday games are good, mate. Like Sea Eagles and Roosters, and that's at Four Pines, and Dolphins Dragons at KO.
Yeah, well, we just spoke about Dolphins. St. George, impressive against the Gold Coast Titans. I thought Tyrell Sloan, he played one of the best matches of his entire career. Still a very young man and you know, still in the early stages of his career, but he looked confident. He scored three, had a couple of try-saving tackles as well. They look like a footy side that are extremely confident now under Shane Flanagan coaching them, and he's instilled a bit more belief in what they're doing on the field. So I think off that performance from the Dolphins only a couple of days ago, I'm tipping Saints. Bit of a harder one for me, though, Manly and the Roosters, the two winners over in Vegas. I think the line is pretty close between these two. But look, I'm going to go Manly because it's a brookie.
Yes.
Okay.
They obviously really good at brookie, are they? Still a bit of a fortress.
Yeah, it's there. This will be packed out, I reckon. This will be packed out Sunday afternoon. Their fans love a Sunday afternoon game. They get up on that hill on the side of the field and they get all their banners going. They get their chants going, and Roosters fans won't go that side of the bridge. So yeah, it'll be heavily Manly in the stands. But no, I think they'll be too strong, Manly.
Hey, we're just about on time. Just very quickly, how do the two veteran coaches react this week? I.e. Hasler with the Titans and Bennett with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think Desi will be, he'll be putting a little bit of work into them, given it's their bye. But I think Wayne will just sit them down and say, "Hey, boys, like that effort wasn't good enough. You know what I mean? Like, how can you expect to win a game of football by turning over cheap football like we did? We offered very little in attack. We need to change things around quickly." He won't try and reinvent their game plan.
Yeah.
He'll just say, like, the effort needs to be better for each other, and let's go out and play better.
All right, mate. Great to chat. I'll go through your tips now because Heels is copying them all down.
Okay. But,
best of luck with the Currumbin Eagles.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you.
And we'll have a chat next week. Cameron Smith joining us.
See you, boys.
Thanks, Coach. Bye.
Yep, joining us as usual on a Tuesday. We'll write the way through this autumn and winter of rugby league. It's just gone 8:31. We will be back. As I mentioned a couple of times over the last 24 hours, had the privilege of being invited down to the Gold Coast Sports Star of the Year on Saturday night. And a couple of very, very good winners early. A young lady who's been in the paper today going all out. Chloe Cavell, who we've had on the show before, the little skateboarder.
Mm.
She keeps breaking records and heading towards Paris. And Natasha Price, one of our wheelchair racers, took out Paris Sports Star of the Year. But the big one, the Gold Coast Sports Star of the Year, went to one of our favourites on the show, Ali Day. And I went over to congratulate him and said, we'll have to get you on the show this week. He said, I would have thought that would be a given. Ali, good morning to you, mate.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good. Congratulations.
Thanks, Paddy. Yeah, cheers, mate. It's I was just saying to Jack off air, I never thought it. I've been nominated before and been to the awards before, but never would have thought I'd ever win one just because of the talent pool here on the Gold Coast. Yeah. So when I turned up on Saturday night, I just thought it was just a pleasure to be there and nice to be, you know, in the headlights, I guess, with, you know, those bigger sort of names that to win it. I feel almost a bit undeserving in a lot of ways.
No, there's no way that you're undeserving. But yeah, you join an honour roll like Emma McKeon, Steph Gilmore, all record breakers, Sally Pearson, Grant Hackett, Mick Doohan. Mate, I've always thought that, you know, it doesn't get lost on people like you just how bigger an achievement this is.
Yeah, I think that's the, you know, when I walked away and drove home that night and, you know, spoke to my wife the next day, it's one thing to be, you know, to be nominated, but then to win it. And, you know, like you said, I am someone that looks at the history and loves that sort of thing. And to look at the names that were on there, in particular, someone like Trevor Hendy's on there from My Sport, and so Shannon Eckstein, who both have had massive impacts on my life. But yeah, the other names, it's one of those things you can never get taken away from me now. So it's very special, and you know, it's nice to have my name on that trophy. And as I said, it's I'm a part of history now, which is, you know, as I said, like the names on there are unbelievable. They're some of the best, not only on the Gold Coast, but some of the best Australia's ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you've got, they've got the hang of, you know, judging you in, mate, you've got another one or two up your sleeve. Now, what you talk about Shannon there, and you won his event 2 weeks ago. Kane was an early idol of yours, eh? Why?
Yeah, I saw you that morning, actually, Heels. It must have been the good luck you gave me at the running shop at Burley.
That's right.
Look, I think Kane had an impact on me because he'd won the Coolangatta Gold several times. I still think he's arguably, I know I've won more titles than him, but he's the best I've seen in that format. I've raced him in Ironman series before. He was the toughest person I've ever raced, like physically and mentally. And I just like the way he went about his business. He did a lot of training on his own, but I do a lot of my stuff on my own as well. And he was just one I took to, one I looked up to. I still remember turning up the first Australian Ironman titles as a 15-year-old, and he would have been 20 or so, and seeing him under a tent up at Kara Beach, and I freaked out and ran back to my tent and said, I'll just okay next time. So I don't know. Just had, him and his brother just had an aura about him. They've sort of paved the way for a lot of Ironmen and Ironwomen athletes, but in particular for me, I looked up to both of them. And, you know, Shannon, for different reasons, that, you know, obviously how dominant he was, he had the nickname the Professor, and, you know, he just left the note, he left no stone unturned. So I sort of took that from Shannon. And as I said, I'd like to think I took the sort of mental toughness and the approach to training from Kane.
Yeah. But you know that day in the running shop that where you were fosking behind the counter, what are those satchels you were getting, and what are you chomping on these days, you major athletes?
Nothing illegal, mate.
No.
just some electrolytes, mate. Yeah. That just because it's so hot on the Gold Coast, and I guess I refer back to just being that no stone unturned, being really professional in the way I go about things. So just, I use a product called Tailwind, and Jeff at the running shop always looks after me down there. So if you should get onto some heels.
Get a bit of Tailwind on me.
Tailwind, that's it, mate. That's it.
Hey, I thought a good question the other night was, what keeps driving you? Obviously, you're chasing Coolangatta Gold number 10 towards the end of the year. You've got the Aussie titles coming up next month up on the Sunny Coast. What drives you to still keep going at this, you know, unbelievable level that you maintain?
I think that's a good question, and I sort of answered it the other night in a roundabout way. I think there's obviously motivation still there to want to try win more, but just ultimately the feeling of winning and perfecting my race just feels phenomenal. I love that feeling of, and that leads on to the next point. You know, I've got a young son already, and we've got one on the way in the next couple of weeks, so I feel like I want them to be around and be able to see Dad race, not for them to want to do the sport, but just to have those memories as a family. I feel like that's pretty special. And at the same time too, I think I'm pretty motivated by knowing that it's almost the end for me. You're a long time retired, and I want to win and I want to enjoy as much as I can while I can, because I know it's going to stop. I've got a lot of mates that have retired, not only from this sport, but from other elite sports. And, you know, they said it's pretty tough. So, you know, trying to find something that feels the same of crossing a line and ticking your goals and dreams off. So if that all makes sense, that's probably what's keeping me going at the moment.
Okay. Or do it until you're absolutely sick of it, then you can move on easier.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, what is the Nationals, which are 13th to the 21st of April at the Sunny Coast, what does Nationals present to you? What have you got to compete in?
Yeah, it's a it's arguably the most historic week, I guess, in surf life saving. You go back and you race your club. Obviously, races like the Coolangatta Gold, the Ironman Series, and even on the weekend, that award, it's all sort of very individual. And don't get me wrong, the Aussies individual. The Blue Ribbon event's our Australian Ironman, which is on Sunday afternoon. And I've been fortunate enough that I've won the last three in a row, and I'd love to notch up another one. That's where I won my first one, three or four years ago. So, look, a lot of team events, heels that we'll do, so board relays, ski relays, surf teams. The Taplin relays, obviously, a very big club event, so there are a lot of team events that you'll go through, and you get through the preliminaries as well, try go through unscathed and get to Sunday where I've got a couple of finals, and as I said, I'd love to be in that Ironman final and love to be at the pointy end, and if not winning it.
Yeah, massive. Good stuff, mate. It was a wonderful honour. I was excited for you. I texted the boys and I said, we've got to get him on this week. I was just rapt for you, mate. Hey, we've got to hit a break. But best of luck for the future. I know the fire still burns.
Thanks, Ali.
Legends, boys. Thanks again.